lot of soul.
This is Bass Talk Live. Your host, Mark Jeffries and Matt Pangrack. BTL is brought to you by Lowrance. Strike King Lures, Bass Cat Boats, Duckett Fishing, Spro, AFCO, Big Bite Baits, Sunline, and TH Marine. BTL coming at you.
Good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome once again to another edition of BTL Bass Talk Live, where hopefully Matt and I are going to talk about bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Yes, it has been a struggle here in Oklahoma, a massive quantity of ice. We have lost power. We have power back, and then we lose power again, then we get it back here. So that's why Matt's not in studio. The roads are a little dicey, and we're going to try this all over again, Matthew.
That sounds good. I'm glad I'm not on the icy roads.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. No school today, probably no school tomorrow. So I've got a couple of days in studio to get caught up on some stuff. And good show today. We're going to have David Mullins on. And for those people that were on prior to the power going out here in the studio, we're kind of going to recap what we talked about earlier. And probably the most important thing is I want to let everybody know next Monday – we're going to have Boyd Duckett on to discuss what Matt and I talked about yesterday in length about the schedule, the classic, the big five, all this stuff that's taking place. I'm going to the source because, yes, I voiced my concern as a fan of this game that the continuance of going to the same bodies of water over and over and over, I just told Boyd, I was like, you know what, man, I was a little disappointed because I thought you guys might be going to some different spots because, number one, in the size of the field being 40 boats, and number two, what a great way to expose these fantastic bodies of water that exist across America instead of going to the same ones over and over and over.
And I voiced my concern about the BPT season starting during the Bassmaster Classic.
Yeah. So we're gonna get into that with Boyd. Right now we are also working on, Boyd's going to talk to Michael Malone, the guy that schedules everything for the BPT, to have him on at the same time. And hopefully we can get answers to a number of questions as to why things have taken place the way that they have. And dude, I'm going to tell you, yesterday's show, a lot of feedback from the fans, a lot of the same frustration about going to the same bodies of water, and a lot of frustration on having an event on the same time as the Bassmaster Classic.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out, because like we said yesterday, regardless of how it went down, you now have a choice. You now have to make a decision. So
yeah. We shall see. The other thing was, is I texted Boyd the story that I discussed yesterday that was on CNBC about the decrease in the number of people that are getting their media, their entertainment from cable,
right,
and from the networks. And they're talking about within the next 4 to 5 years, a total over the last 12 years of almost 50 million people cutting the cord.
Wow.
That's a lot of people, yeah, when you have your premise based upon television. So we'll get into that discussion too. But as for today, keep your fingers crossed. Let's hope the power does not go out again in this ice storm. I'm going to send you a picture, Matt. Do you know, and can you recall the trees that are right next to my house? I think they're, what are they, sycamores? I think they're sycamores.
Of your old house? I remember the ice storm of your old house back when you lived down by... back down in Norman. Remember that ice storm? Yeah. It was bad that year.
Well, I have great concern that the trees that are next to my house,
right,
are going to bust to smithereens and go right into my house and probably crush my windows and the side of my
remodel
house.
Too?
Well, inside, not outside. But yeah,
The joys of being a subdivision homeowner.
I'm going to send you a picture of this. It is really cool looking, but it defines a totally different meaning of cool when it's about to just totally demolish the side of your house.
I think you're way over exaggerating.
Dude,
think
this you have a, no idea.
I think this is another weather event. You like to dramatize weather events.
That's why I'm sending you pictures, man.
There's
that's,
no real
that's why I'm going to send you pictures
that are within striking distance of your house.
All right. All right. I'm going to send you pictures.
Branch fall on the ground.
No,
into,
I'm going to send
into Carolyn's hammock on the porch or something.
I'm going to send you pictures. I am really, really
exaggerating.
Concerned.
Yeah,
I am not. So just you like guys have no ice.
Exaggerating. Just like you're always concerned about the 20-mile straight line winds.
So there's
six
no
to
ice.
8 inches of snow.
There's no ice in Tulsa. That's what you're telling me.
There's a little bit of ice, but not. It's not horrid. No. No, it's definitely worse in Norman.
Yeah, and then AJ sent me some pictures from Weatherford, which is even further west from where you are, about 90 miles west from me, and it's really, 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 really bad there.
Yeah, they still making them practice outside?
No, they shut down school today and tomorrow. Okay. Actually, so can't do that. All right, good show today. We're going to have David Mullins on just a few minutes after we take this short break and talk about his season, man. He's at the top of the leaderboard in the Angler of the Year race, and I really want to get into what his season has been like, and I want to reflect back to that first season, his open season back in 2013, had an enormous amount of success. And then that very first event, I know I like to dwell on the bad, but I'm dwelling on the bad to talk about the good, Matthew.
Mm-hmm. Bombed his first Elite Series, but this next six were incredible. I mean, this year that
he was
dialed in. This year that he's had has been very impressive from consistency. I mean, you've seen the guys that we have talked about. It's impressive to see his consistency given the number of difficult fisheries that they've gone to. It's not like, oh, you know, I caught 60 pounds, but it took 75 to do well and finish 30th. I mean, you're talking with the fall and the tough fishing and the lack of limits. Like, it's really tough to stay up there. It's really easy to come in with zero or one or two on a day. And he's like the only dude who hasn't done that at least one event. He's made it through the gauntlet of probably three or four of the top 10 best fisheries in America at the absolute worst time that you can fish them and has figured out how to survive them. So a very impressive Angler of the Year run that he just kind of popped up as the leader with a decent lead over Austin Felix heading into the last event of the year on Lake Fork, which again is going to be a total unknown after Chickamauga and Gunnersville. And I mean, the one out in the Carolinas that they just went to? Santee Cooper and Fork. I mean, those are four of the top 10 best fisheries in the country to close out the year at the worst time you could fish them.
Yeah. No, you're right, man. You're right. Let me ask you this. If you're Clark Wendland, do you talk to the media?
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Because of the crash and burn?
Who cares? He's got three FLW Angler of the Year.
Dude, that's not what I asked.
Why would you not talk to the media? If you crash and burn all 10, or if you win all 10, you should still talk to the media, Mark. That's a stupid question.
It is not because, you know for a fact, you've been in this gig way too long, that some individuals in this game, when they have a disaster happen like that, they will not talk to people.
Not someone who's been around for as long as he has and has seen he knows as well as anybody that that's a real possibility.
That's why I asked you the question, but you have to.
Absolutely.
Okay. So do you agree or disagree that there would be some individuals in this game that would not talk to the media because of the crash and burn?
I mean, there might be a couple guys if you hit them
on
the wrong time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clark's not one of them.
Don't want to talk to people when you had a bad tournament.
Did you call? I talk on BTL. I mean, it's like 90% of my freaking tournaments, Mark. I talk to him. I mean, did you call Clark and he told you to get lost and he didn't really talk about it?
No.
Yeah, he would definitely talk about it.
No, I just think it would be very, very interesting to see what he'd have to say. I mean, bottom line was, dude, it was brutally tough, and everybody knows that.
That's what I said. I mean, Mullen is the only one who got through the gauntlet without a disaster. Yeah. They were the guys at the top. I mean, Austin did too. I mean, they just survived.
No, in my opinion, I think that Clark would come on this show and would talk about it. But you know that there are certain professional athletes out there that when they are not, or when situations take place that do not showcase the level of performance that they expect, that they refuse to talk to the media. That's why I brought it up. It's the only reason I brought it up.
Clark wants his damn respect, Mark.
I kind of felt sorry for him because everybody, it was all Clark and he had such a huge lead.
Yeah, everyone was like, oh, he's the best in the fall. He's there's no chance here.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to reach out to him.
Like
we'll
I said, that's a gauntlet. Hey. We've never seen anything like it. That caliber of fishery this time of the year, that level of what's on the line and how crappy they were fishing.
Yeah.
If he wants to come on after what just happened in back-to-back-to-back weeks. I mean, if David Mullins, I'm sitting on a throne with like a scepter going, look what I just did.
Hey, if Clark wants to come on, great. If he doesn't want to come on, I totally understand it. Totally get it.
I would bet any amount of money he would come on.
All right. We'll see. I'll try and get him booked for maybe next week. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. He has been waiting patiently through all the trials and tribulations that I've been going through here in Oklahoma City. We will be back with the man atop the leaderboard of the Angler of the Year race, David Mullins. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The ultimate fishing system starts with Lowrance HDS Live. The best fish-finding tools, from Chirp Sonar and Fish Reveal to side-scan and down-scan imaging. And complete touchscreen control, from your trolling motor to your big motor.
We've paired one of the most iconic hulls in the history of bass boats with a proven lineup of trusted accessories. We're bringing you best-in-class value and performance, leaving others in your wake. Turnkey value, turnkey performance. The Pantera 2 is an overachiever in the 19-foot category. Once you hit the throttle, you'll feel the rush, and there's no looking back.
Kevin, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm just filling in for Billy.
I need 660 shad crankbaits in the Series 5 model.
We're out.
You're not out. You got all kinds of them right there.
We're out.
Kevin, I need 6.
Have a lollipop.
I do not want a lollipop.
Have a lollipop.
Do you have it in sexy shad color?
Let's face it. Fishing electronics are no longer an afterthought. They've become a necessity. And at the Bass Take, our experts match you with the right electronics, provide professional installation, and educate you to help maximize your catching results while providing support along the way. Because let's be honest, it's about catching, not just fishing. And when you're ready for better results, join the Bass Take team. Visit us today on Facebook or go to thebasstake.com.
Hey everybody, Todd Faircloth here. Want to show you one of my favorite braided lines, SX1 30-pound Sunline Braid. I use this braided line for a couple of different applications, and one of my favorites to use for this line is a swim jig. Casts great, and it's small diameter, and just works really great on a swim jig. Another technique I like to use for 30-pound SX1 Sunline Braid is whenever I'm flipping like a light, say an eighth to a quarter ounce weight in grass, small diameter, I don't lose much action on my worm, just works great in those scenarios. So if you're looking for a braided line for a swim jig or fishing a light Texas rig, check out Sunline's SX1 30-pound braid.
AFCO's new Uri performance shirts are made out of a new fabric. Aeromesh technology, Aeromesh fabric, really breathable. You know, it just doesn't stick to you whenever you're sweating. It's 105 in Florida. You know, you got sun beating down. There's hardly any wind. You know, your shirt won't stick to your back or anything like that. Any little breeze gets through it. And all the AFCO features that you like with the hood, not without a hood, depending on which one you like. It's got odor technology, so your pits don't stink whenever you're sweating. It has thumb loops. Whenever you're driving down the lake, 70 miles an hour in a bass boat, you got thumbs through here, sleeves won't roll up, so you have no excuse if you get somewhere. Any little breath of air gets through and cools you down, so make sure you check them out. Any fish, any water, any condition, AFCO has you covered.
All right, we are back on a Tuesday, and we are ready to go to our special guest today. Real quick, Matthew, I want to remind everybody, the 45th anniversary of TH Marine taking place, and this week, the weekly deal is 25% off select Blue Water LEDs, and right there, you see the code. Use the code BLUEWATERDEALS, and you'll get 25% off when you order online there at TH Marine. 45 years, long time to be in business, and another great deal for all the BTL fans out there to get 25% off select Blue Water LED elements right there. So good stuff. Take advantage of that. All right. I know the guy's been waiting a while. Let's go ahead and see if we can bring David in. David, you there, man?
Yeah, I'm here, big guy.
All right, man. Appreciate you being patient. Quite the performance this year. I know Matt and I have discussed, went back, looked at the stats, but just a very, very impressive performance on bodies of water that were extremely tough.
Thank you. Yes, they were tough. And if you could just find a way to get some bites, you know, you could move up a lot. And we were fortunate enough to find a couple ways to get bites, and, you know, it worked out.
What was your plan going into? So, like we talked about before you came on, we went Gunnersville, Santee Cooper, Lake Chickamauga, back-to-back-to-back events. You're talking three of, you could argue, the top five fisheries in the country, but it was at the most difficult time of the year. Were you going in trying to win the events, trying to survive the events? Did they set up? I mean, I know from being in Tennessee and a cranker, did they set up for you? Or what was your plan heading into Gunnersville?
I didn't have a plan. I don't think I ever have a plan for any of these lakes. And I think for me, if I start getting like a preconceived plan about what they should be doing, then I totally lose what's going on. So I just went fishing, and that's how it worked out. And, you know, a lot of times I'll get, if I get any preconceived deals, I'll just try to run that too long and it's not going on. So I just showed up and went.
David, these last 3 weeks, you know, in the back to back to back, has anything changed in the way that you fished? Has anything changed from how you approach stuff off the water? How has your life changed now, after that third event, with one going into it? Nothing? Is it just David Mullins and that's it?
No, I guess. I've got a bunch of phone calls and people ask me, do you fish BFLs or what are you fishing? I heard you catch some fish, you know, pretty much. Yeah.
A lot of times you talk to guys who get on massive rolls like you're on now. And one bait in particular will kind of carry them through. They get confidence in one thing, and then it rolls to the next tournament, and they say, screw it, I'm just going to keep chucking this because it worked before. Did that happen in that back-to-back-to-back where you had one thing that you kind of were like, I wasn't planning on doing this, but it worked in all 3 weeks?
I had a chatterbait work at Santee Cooper and Chickamauga, but Gunnersville, I was catching some deep. I caught some shallow. I caught some punching. Caught some on a buzz bait. So everything worked there as far as, you know, not dialed into one thing. But your chatterbait definitely carried me over the last two, and it wasn't on purpose. It was, you know, you figure out how do you get some bites and just roll with it, and that's what I used there.
David, I want to go back to the beginning when you qualified for the Elite Series back in 2013. Your open performance, you know, you had a 49th, a second, I think a 26th. did just an incredible open series of events there. And then that very first event that you had that was on Lake Seminole, it kind of opened your eyes, I guess, because you had a triple digit finish. But then after that, you really got dialed in. What did you learn from that first year? And what can you recall about that first tournament that you fished as an Elite Series guy?
First tournament, you know, I'm pulling my boat with a 99 Ford diesel stick shift, right? And the only way I was able to make the Elites was the year before the Opens. I won a brand new Ranger that fall, and I fished out of that Ranger in the Opens and qualified, and then sold that Ranger for my entry fees for the first year of the Elite Series. So that's the only way I could fish, because, you know, I've said it before, you know, God has a plan, and everything just went perfect for me to do this, or I wouldn't be able to do it. And so I show up to Seminole, my first Elite Series tournament. I've got this old Ford stick shift, you know, and I asked the guy, you know, my marshal, do you want a boat or truck? He's like, I'll just get the truck. I said, what's a stick shift? Can you drive it? He said, yes. So the next, let's just cut it. Long story short, the first next thing I know, like, the water's up to the back doors in the truck. I have to get from the boat, jump on top of the cab of my truck, crawl across there, get on top of the cab, come in through the window, pull the truck up. By the time I'm getting my truck, they're already calling my name to go through check-in to blast off. So I have to sprint. So let's just say my first day, I am a mess. I can't catch anything. I'm already late. I had to stop outside the canal at Seminole just to get my rods on deck, see what I was going to throw, and put my graphs on, and why everybody's blasting off by me. So I didn't start off good there,
wow.
But I think from there on, I ran like five or six checks in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Until I got up north, and that's people ask me, what's the difference in this year catching them and previous years? Is I've got through a solid northern swing, and I didn't have a stumble up there, and that northern swing's always kind of been my plague.
Yeah, all so right. You went from there, you know, you went after that, you went 42nd, 42nd, 30th, 28th, and then a second in the open. So would you have even been able to make it through the rest of that season had you not started catching them after Seminole?
No, I mean, especially I maybe would have got through half or most of that season, but, you know, I had to get some checks. And, you know, even like a year or two after that, when we went to Havasu in Sacramento, I think leaving Sacramento, going to Havasu, I had like $1,000 in my name, but I didn't get a check at Havasu. I never made it and got a check at Havasu. And I said, Everything for me has not been easy, but it worked out perfectly.
Because you're going, I mean, 42nd, 42nd, 30th is like one bad decision away from, damn, I almost cashed a check.
Oh, yeah. That's
I remember that one year that John Bondi was like, man, I need to start cashing checks. And he finished like 52nd, like four in a row, and was like, I'm done. The Moose Tracks is headed back to Canada.
I still remember that year I tied Justin Lucas for the last check at Cayuga. And didn't miss that one out on the tiebreaker. I would have got another check that year. So
yeah, 51st.
I had a solid rookie year. I just didn't make it to the northern swings.
Justin Lucas always getting in people's way.
All right, man. How are you going to approach Fork? Any different? The same? The usual plan? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no different. I'm just going, you know, just going out there and do the best you can, and hopefully find a way to get some bites and go from there.
What's your history on Fork?
I've only been there once, and it was year before last, whenever we went. And I honestly should have had a check there. I had one fish on the bed that I left too early, and by the time I got back, Drew Benton catches it, and it's like a 4.5. And if I catch that one fish, then I make a check there. But, you know, it seemed like that place was really small and had a heck of a lot of pressure, and that's the only thing I know about it. But, yeah, we're not going to approach it any differently. We're just going to, like I said, go, and hopefully we can find a way to get bit and roll with it. But, man, it's, you know, this angler year deal is a shootout. There's like five or six people that can win it, and whoever finishes in the top 10 is going to win this deal. And that's what it should be at the end of the year, and it's been a long time since we've had a race this close, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity.
At what point did you realize you would be in that mix? And then at what point did you, I mean, do you remember the first time you looked and went, I'm leading the dang thing?
Yeah, I didn't even look. Somebody told me because, you know, we all thought Clark was going to win it because, mm-hmm. man, he's so talented and he's been there and won so many angler of the years. He's a great, great fisherman, great guy. And I just go show you fall, you can stumble real easy. It's just it's a tough time of year to fish. And we thought he was going to run away with it and then come out of Chickamauga and I've got a lead. And it surprised me too. Here we are.
Now, your background is you're a teacher, right?
Yes, sir.
And you also hunt a lot, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, typically you wouldn't think you'd have a lot of time on the water in the fall time of the year between the tree and the classroom. Is it something that you fish year round a lot of the time, or is this kind of like, is this kind of new for you fishing this much this late into the season?
Well, when I fished at home, we had all of our big money tournaments were in the fall, and I know how much of a, you know, how hard they can be mm-hmm. to get bit. And so I'm used to fishing the fall around the house, but the last 6 years, I have not fished at all. And when I'm home, I don't even pick up a rod usually. And, you know, right now, I don't think about hunting season. I know I got an LY deal to go on, but I'm just so ready to be done with fishing for this fall. And I got I've got a little duck impoundment here at the house that we've moved our water pumps down, start pumping water into it yesterday, got all the hoses ran, and right now that's what I'm wanting to do.
Wow. All right, man. I'm curious, what part of your game is really improved, David, from the aspect of where you were in 2013 to now over the last 7 years?
Oh, God, everything. I mean, in 13, the only thing I knew was Cherokee and Douglas right here at the house. And, you know, we don't have grass or any kind of diverse fisheries. We're just highland reservoirs, and that's all I knew. And it took me a long time to go to these other lakes, you know, and learn little deals about how to approach them and what the fish do. And it took me a long time. I mean, I told that to Luke Duncan when I was on his podcast. I didn't even own a chatterbait my first year of the Elite Series. We never even grew one around here. And, you know, we're primarily upper waters of Tennessee River. Now, we're diverse as far as we can go out in 40-foot and catch smallmouth, or we can grind a square bill all day too, you know. So we've got that diversity, but there's a lot we're missing, and it took me a long time to understand how fish relate to different places and different structures. And it gets a little better every year, and hopefully I can continue improving every year.
All right. Has there been somebody either on tour or off tour that's really helped you with this whole learning process?
Oh, man, Aaron Martins. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been here. You know, I knew Aaron for years before I got on tour, and that's the only reason I fished the Opens is he came up and fished with me before they had the Elite Series on Douglas back in like 12 or 13. And, you know, he told me while I was fishing, if I ever wanted to do it, he thought I could do it because of he knew who he fished against. He thought I was better than some of them. And then they announced the open schedule not long after that, and Douglas was like the second event. So I talked to him and I said, you think we could travel together and see if I can make this open deal? And so he said, yeah. So we ended up staying in his camper and I traveled the opens and ended up making it my first year trying it. So wow. Yeah, definitely Aaron. And dude, the people I stay with now, Drew Benton, Drew Cook, and, you know, when you got somebody that you trust, the information you trust, they're going to tell you the truth, and we all get along. That's a huge help. And I can tell you twice, Drew Benton saved my butt this year. Once on You Follow, and at Santee Cooper, I was struggling too, and he told me of an area that he was getting some bites in, and I kind of went way outside that area and found my own little deal over there. And you know, if it wasn't for those two things, I wouldn't have caught him there. So, you know, I've got two good roommates that we trust each other and we all share information, and it helps out a lot.
Okay, let me ask you this, because I'm fishing the Opens this year. You're rooming with someone else, and you talk about like when someone's on them and someone's not. So how does that work for you? You're practicing, you've got these guys. Are you sharing information, or do you come to them and say, dude, I don't have crap. Like, I'm about to get my ass kicked. Do you have anything that I could have or like a tip? Like, just, I know you've got a bunch of guys, people who listen to fish club, BFL, that level of stuff too. And just talk about how it works as far as helping each other out and making sure everyone's taken care of and happy without stepping on the other guy's toes too and ending up fishing his exact same stuff.
Yeah, I don't try to fish the exact same stuff. You know, if one of us struggling, the other one tell us, vaguely what to do, not necessarily spots, but like on Lake Travis, when Benton won that, I told him, I said, dude, they'll bite the top water in the middle of the day in the sunshine. He didn't believe me. I went in the first pocket last day of practice and caught like a 4-pounder in there. And he's like, you gotta be kidding me. So he went and tried it in another pocket and he caught 2 4-pounders and he ends up winning the tournament. So I didn't tell him exactly what, but I told him what to do and what they were biting on. And the same goes for Cook at Cayuga last year. He called me up. He said, man, I can't get a bite. And I was just like, take a crankbait, go down a grass line. And first grass line he went to, he caught it. Now, it wasn't the grass line I was fishing, but that goes to show you, you know, just good information and trusting somebody to tell you the truth is huge. And it works out for us. And we don't share, like, this is the spot, have we yet? But we just give the information about how we think we can get bit.
I got one more question, then. Do you consider yourself an old-school East Tennessee cranker? Okay. Or are you a versatile do whatever it takes guy, or are you a crankbait guy who has to throw other stuff to get by sometimes?
Oh no, you can't be one sided. Am I an old school cranker? Yes, but you can't be one sided. And you know, I've caught them on crankbaits a few times this year, but I haven't had a lot of tournaments where I've caught them cranking, you know. But yeah, I'm old school, but you still gotta be versatile and figure out what's going on. It can't be one-sided with everything.
Because that'd be interesting that if depending on how things shake out, I mean, you're in position to win an Angler of the Year and haven't really been able to rely on your strong suit much of the year.
Yeah, and that's helped out a lot because I like to wind stuff around, whether it be a crankbait, chatterbait, you know.
Phone call.
Nashville.
What was that area code, 615?
Yeah.
It's Phoenix Boats trying to get a hold of me.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
We'll wrap this
you
up.
You just threatened to kick Phoenix Boats butt on live TV when you drive through the factory.
We'll wrap this up here pretty quick, David, so you can take care of business. Jeez.
I can't remember what I was talking about.
But yeah, you talk about cranking, relying on cranking.
There's certain situations where it works, but you've got to be versatile. And I think that's what's helped me the last few years is just learning more tricks, learning the lakes a lot better and learning how they, what they eat on and what things they relate to. And that's helped out a lot. But yeah, I'm definitely an old school cranker. I like cranking.
Very nice. What do you teach, or what did you teach?
I taught in high school, mostly juniors and seniors. We taught econ, finance, computers, business courses is what I had.
Jeffrey's coach. Jeffrey's
that's what I
did that exact same thing in high school.
Yeah.
Could you imagine cool. that? I would much rather have Mullins than you, Jeffrey.
Well, you know, it is what it is. Did you enjoy it, man? Was it something that you really liked? Do you miss it? I mean, obviously you're at the top of the bass fishing world, but, you know, some people are born to be teachers. Others aren't.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I miss the kids and I miss coaching. I love coaching basketball. I was assistant coach of basketball at 2 different schools. And, you know, I had teachers make really good summertime fishermen because they're off all summer. And one of my partners that I fished with for a long time, he was an elementary school teacher, and we would go out in the summer, you know, and structure fish all summer long. And that was a big part of it, is the time off. But I enjoyed it, and I missed a lot of those kids. And I just renewed my license like 2 months ago, just in case anything ever went south. Go back.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be needing that anytime soon. All right, we got to see a picture of the dog before we go.
Come here, bud. Come on. Come here. Yep. He's got his little toy. Come here.
That's a hunting dog, huh?
Yeah.
Buddy, come here. Bring him. He's ready to go.
He is ready to go.
He's got him over here. He's going to beat me to death with his tail.
All right, yeah. David, man, we appreciate you being flexible with all the power situations and the phone calls to get this knocked out. But, man, we wish you nothing but the best at Lake Fork, and hopefully you will raise that trophy above your head and be Angler of the Year, man.
Well, that would be awesome, and I apologize for Gary Klaus to keep calling me. tell him when I start ignoring his calls to quit calling, don't continue calling. And this might be penalties or fines associated later in the year, depending on how bad this editing is going to be.
No, it's all good, man. It's all good. All right, man. Take care, David.
Hey, thanks for having me on. God bless, guys.
All right, man. See ya. Wow, man, that's like a carbon copy
of what you do.
Yeah, except catch fish, because I can't do that.
And then you act just like if it was Gary calling, like if you try to get a hold of me and I don't answer, I'm doing something. You just continually call back, and then I'm free, and I get to the point where I'm like, screw you, I'm not answering, even though I'm free now, and then I don't answer out of principle.
Yeah, I get it. I get it, man. So that was quite the interview there. Folks, if you're listening to the replay on iTunes or any other podcast platform, I apologize for that, but you got to understand, we have really been going through numerous challenges.
Setback BTO, maybe 3 to 5 years, Mark.
Oh my gosh, man. Here I am trying to power through it, and
it is what it is. I tried.
But
tomorrow,
good dude,
what do
man.
We got tomorrow?
Cool show tomorrow. We're going to have Frank the Tank on.
Okay.
And we're also going to have Brandon Polinick on live from the water at the Eastern Open. When I called to talk to him, I forgot that he was fishing the Eastern Open. And he's like, yeah, I'll come on. I was like, no, you don't need to do that. Dude, you're fishing. No, I want to. Here, we'll just do it live from the water during practice. We'll get his take on what's going on. Where are they at? I don't even remember where they're at.
They're at that.
Cherokee?
Yeah, that's the
Is
place.
It Cherokee?
It's got the smallmouth and the largemouth and all the clay points and stuff. That's where everyone was catching them on the D'Amici rig super early in the year when we started it out there.
Yeah.
Remember, I think Terry Scroggins cashed a check on a 16-ounce crappie jig that he bought at the tackle store.
I remember that.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Wow. So we'll check in with Brandon tomorrow. And then Monday, Duckett. Tuesday, Chris, right? Chris? Is that correct?
Sam?
Chris?
Yeah.
What's his last name?
Sobey. Soberick, I think, is his last name.
But people call him Sobey.
Yeah, he's done stuff with the Guggen Squad and Scott Martin. And he has his own channel. He's big. He's like next level big league social media marketing management of the guys with the millions and hundreds of thousands of followers.
All right, there you have it. And then this afternoon, we're going to have a call with John from Illinois, who is going to be taking part in the excursion with you now.
And you. It's a BTL experience, Mark.
It is. It definitely is. Now, if you're going to go bass fishing, where are you going to go? Any idea yet?
If we're going to go bass fishing, we're going to go to Ten Killer.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good choice. Now, and what about crappie fishing?
If I can't name the lake.
Oh, okay. So a secret. Special.
We're going to the lake X, Y, and Z of crappie fishing. The Holy Grail. I think
All right. Just depends on
what he wants to do.
Okay. So we will evaluate
I need to get
the
a new
weather.
Prop on, though.
Do what?
I need to get a new prop on, though.
Oh, yeah, you do. Well, you got a little jack in your pocket there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to go down once it's no longer 32 and raining profusely. I'll get the prop fixed.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to call Todd. That's who you need to call.
Is that
Frank's friend, man.
I talked to Frank on the phone for like an hour yesterday.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Give Todd a call, man. He'll hook you up with a prop.
Well, I know what I need. I just need a regular one.
No, I'm serious. He'll hook you up, man. Call Todd. Call Frank. Get hooked up with Todd, and he'll get you taken care of. You got to get that in quick, though, dude.
Yeah, I know.
You got to get that shipped in.
They don't sell them at Walmart?
No, no, they don't. They do not. All right. What are you going to do the rest of the day, man, in the Beautiful weather.
I've got to get unpacked. I've got to get my life back to normal. You know, it's been 2.5-3 weeks for me on the road. I have no clean clothes. I mean, I have nothing. None. I've just been living out of a little suitcase. I had to go buy underwear at TJ Maxx yesterday afternoon.
Oh,
so I had a fresh pair just because everything is so disorganized.
Yeah. Speaking of disorganized, folks, thank you for being patient today with everything we had going on with the phone issues and the power outages here in Oklahoma. So thank you so much for hanging around. Thank you, David Mullins, for being patient and being on the show. Tomorrow, Frank the Tank, Polinick. I don't know if Matt's going to be in studio. We'll keep you posted. If not, it's going to be the look that you see right here, right now. All right. Matt, be safe, man. I'll talk to you this afternoon.
Thanks, Bart.
All right. That's it. We're out of here, folks. Be safe.